Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
I went to the Heritage on Friday, and what I heard them clapping out, that's what it heard. That's what it sounded like right then. So if you're going to clap because he's worthy, you need to clap louder than the Heritage claps, because this is not golf. This is the Lord. This is God who reigns over all things. It's much different. Much different. Amen. Amen. I wanted to say good morning real quick. So I'm wearing a lot of hats this morning. I was leading worship, and now I'm going to preach. So I'm really excited. So go ahead and take your seat. Go ahead and take your seat. Before we even jump into that, I give a couple of little introductions, I want us to watch a clip real quick, because everything that we're going to kind of like base off of today is going to be off of this little clip. And so I think you're going to enjoy it, but go ahead and turn your attention to the screens. We're going to watch this real quick.
I declare bankruptcy!
Wanted you to know that you can't just say the word bankruptcy and expect anything to happen.
I didn't say it. I declared it.
Still, that's not anything. This is a lot of credit card debt.
Yeah, tell me about it. You know, Jan has my credit cards and she's using them as if I'm made of money. She thinks I'm a human ATM machine.
Okay, $125, Amazon.
Oh, Best of the Muppet Show on DVD, classic.
$1,200. What's a core blaster extreme?
That is by far the best way to strengthen your core. This machine, you sit on a stabilizer ball, you put your feet into the power stirrups, you reach up and you grab onto the super rod, and you twist, and you twist, and you twist. It strengthens your entire core. Your back core, your arm core, the Marine Corps actually uses it. I think that's how they got core.
Okay, the green bar is what you spend every month on.
One of my favorite clips of that whole show is that right there. Let me tell you why. So, first of all, if I don't know you, my name is Joseph. I get to be one of the pastors here at City Hope. And actually, this past week it was my year, I think, of being on staff here at City Hope Church. And so, yeah, it's been really good. It's been really good to see. Our family has truly loved to see just the progression of our church and the way that it's grown. Not necessarily in size, even though there's been a little bit of that too, but just in the spiritual health. Because that's one of the biggest things that we shoot for is the church healthy. Because you can grow, but you know that's maybe you're unhealthy, and that's not necessarily growth. That's just you're just growing in size. But the internal stuff is the stuff that we're looking at. And so just being able to see a lot of you grow in your lives and even just in my life, just the maturity of what God has been doing in at City Hope for this past year has been incredible. And I love that Brian mentioned a lot of exciting things. If you weren't here last week, there was three things that Pastor mentioned. Just the shift in our staff has been happening, and those things have been aligning for a purpose because we're preparing for what God is doing. And so I'm a firm believer what the Word of God says is that He says, prepare the land and He will bring the harvest. And so that's what we're doing, is we're just moving things because we're preparing ourselves for what God is doing, because we can only go so much. We have a cap, we have a limit, but God is limitless and He can do whatever He wants. And so that's what we've been doing. But the other things that he mentions is exciting is the Hope Center. I don't know if you know about this, but if you're newer to the church, this is incredible. This is the outreach branch of our church. This is where ministry is going to happen outside of the walls of City Hope. This is where God is going to meet people, not necessarily when they walk through these doors, but when they are out there. And we're going to get to meet them out there and provide counseling services for families and marriages and all these things. So that's very exciting. And the third thing that he mentioned, and I love this is crazy, but a piece of land. You know what that means, right? That means like a gym for students. That's what I'm thinking. But this is a building. This is somewhere we get to do ministry. And for all of you that set up here at 6:30 a.m., which, by the way, I need you guys to put your hands together for everybody who's here every Sunday at 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m. I know you're going to hate this, brother. I'm going to celebrate you real quick. But Justin, right here, Justin Pierce, he is the man. He puts it together. He's here every Sunday, and he walks around. And he just says, what do we need? What do we need to do? And so you guys don't get to see that, but it happens. This stuff doesn't just come together magically. It gets put together by people who have said, yes, Jesus, I follow you, and I'm going to give them my time. It's very inconvenient to be up at 5 a.m., I think. But, you know, they're here. And so what I want to say to that, too, is like the room has been prepared. The table's been prepared. And so don't show up late for dinner. So as much as you can, make it on time. Make church, like it starts at 10 a.m., let's be there at 10 a.m. Let's be there at 10 a.m. because every part of the course matters, not just the sermon, but every part of it, the worship, the host. Brian prepares all week so that he can get up here and just be funny. You know, he's great, and I love him. But yeah, so anyways, it's just an encouragement for all of us. But before we jump in, this is what I want you to know about this. This is what I want you to know about this clip. I love this clip. Why? Because Michael, I don't know if you know the show, Michael walks in and he says, I declare bankruptcy. And then Oscar, who is the realist in this show, he's the accountant, by the way, which tells you a lot about being real and down to the ground. He's the one that walks in and says, you can't just say that and anything happen. And he's like, I didn't say it. I declared it. And then Oscar says and responds, it's like, still. And so this is what I want you to know about that part. This is why I love it. Michael can say all he wants and declare all he wants, but then Oscar goes on to reveal to him what got him to that place. And so this is what matters. You can say all you want. We can say all we want with our mouths wide open, declare it to the four winds, but our habits are the ones that are going to reveal where our heart truly is. And where the things really is, our decisions, the things that we walk through every day. And so here's the big idea about today. Our habits and our decisions reveal where we are actually faithful. So we can say and declare whatever we want. But when people look at our lives, when people look at the things behind the scenes, what will they say? Let me pray real quick and then we'll jump into the rest of this. But Father, we thank you. You are so, so good. And Lord, this is what I ask of you today. I ask that you just be the one who brings your word and your conviction to our hearts. That it not be from any man or anything said, but it be directly from you, God, that you would be the one to move in our hearts. We love you, we trust you, and we just give this morning to you. Amen. Amen. So this is where I want to land right here with this clip. Just because we say something out loud doesn't make it true. And if we're honest, a lot of us do the same thing with our faith. We do the same thing with our faith. And the tension is right here. So our life isn't shaped by what we say. It's shaped by what we repeatedly do. One of the things that I learned through, as you can tell, I don't run as much as I used to. But when I used to run a lot more, one of the things that the coach or my friend that used to tell me is, he would tell me, he's like, you could get up and you can run a 5K if you wanted to, but you're not going to make it. What's really going to get you there is what you do to prepare to get there. The habits that you change, the things that you do in the background, the way that you eat, maybe not as much Diet Mountain Dew, which, by the way, I love that. And look, this is one thing that I really need to stop. But it makes me, actually, it's my little safety thing going on right here, so don't judge me too hard. But it's the habits, it's the things in the background that have to change for me to be able to run that 5K. And so life isn't shaped by what we say necessarily, by what we repeatedly do. And so when we look at our habits, when we look at our spending, when we look at our time, when we look at our priorities, what is it that comes first in our life? What is it that someone else would say comes first in our life? And so this is the question that we're going to walk into today is... And just to give you a little insight, when Pastor Bobby and I were kind of navigating the series and like first things first, I'm going to tell you where that title came from. So just like any church, we wanted to be able to navigate the serving, the giving, the investment, the way that people walk into a church and pour out their lives and do all this for Jesus. But one of the things that I remember asking them is like, we could do that and we could do that all day. We could do that for the rest of the year. But unless our hearts transform, all those things will always just be commands. They will always just be something that someone is asking you to do. They will always just be a, well, pastor said that we need to do that, and I felt guilty, so I'll show up next Sunday, and I'll help you, Justin. I will. You know, but what ends up happening, if there wasn't truly a heart transformation to, Jesus, I do this because you deserve it, because you're worthy, then it doesn't matter how much we talk about it. And so that's where the heart of this series comes from. The heart of the series comes from is first things first. The giving will happen. I think those are just symptoms. Giving, serving, the investment, all those different things, those are only things that come after our hearts are fully given to Jesus. There's something that Pastor Bobby said last week, and you're going to hear me say it a lot today too. He said Jesus did not die for 10% of our money, but he died for 100% of our hearts. And so I truly believe that if that happens, 100% of our heart, we don't have to talk about the rest of it. I don't have to invite you to do anything. You'll just do it on your own. Because you're going to be like, man, I'm all in. Why? Because of him. Not because of you, Pastor Joe. And so that's the heart of the series. That's what we're going to walk through today. And so I want us to dive into Scripture and just kind of connect everything here with Scripture, because this is all biblical. This is not a preference or opinions from Pastor Bobby or Pastor Joseph, but something that is very biblical. And so I want to ask you to stand. And if you have your Bible, if you have your note app to take notes, if you have the Bible app, whatever it is that you have, we're going to be in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 21. And so if you have it, I want to hear, just like we used to hear in the Baptist church, an amen if you have it. There we go. Thank you, Miss Susie. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. It reads, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is what I want us to know about this. My money does not follow my heart. My heart follows my money. And we're going to continue to connect this here real quick. In Luke chapter 16, I'm going to give you a second to look there. Luke chapter 16. It's going to be on the screens too. Luke chapter 16, it says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little also will be dishonest with much." In verse 11, "So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" This is what it makes me think of real quick. So I love that one of the biggest lessons that I've had in my life is becoming a father, because everything that I say, my girls do the opposite. And I can relate to the things that God says in his word, and then I'm like, I do the opposite or I don't listen. But one of the things that this made me think of real quick, and then we can sit, is if you can't be trusted with little, how would he give you more? The girls right now have been crazy with, I don't know if you heard of something called Neatos. Squishy things, you know, like all these little things. They've been crazy raving about these things. And I don't know if you know, but you can only get up to 3 when you go to the store. That's how crazy it is. They've put a limit on it. But here's the thing. So anyway, so one of my girls has this big block of cheese. I'm looking at you. This big block of cheese, and it's squishy. And this is what happens. I don't know, probably like a day or 2 days in, she rips the thing out. And now the squishy part is in a gallon bag instead of its original container. But the audacity of, can we go hunt for more Neatos? And I'm just, this is my thought, and I think this is the way that God feels. Why in the world would I buy you another Neato when you destroyed that $30 cheese block? You know that, why would I do that? And that's what I think of when it says, if I can't trust you with a little Neato, why in the world would I give you more? Go ahead, you can go ahead and take a seat. That's exactly what I think of. And I, you know, you honestly, you can feel this You can replace this with anything else. Money, jobs, or whatever it may be. If we can't steward the things that God has given us out of gratitude, then why in the world would he give more? One of the things that I tell my team all the time is God doesn't pour into a leaking cup. And so we have to fix that. How do we fix that? Is the transformation of our hearts. That God will pour more when he knows that we can hold what he's given us and steward it well. And it's a very biblical concept, because you'll even see with the talents that one person went and buried them, that one person went and multiplied them, that one person held them together very closely. And so this is the thing here, right? Can we be trusted? Can God give us, and for us to be able to steward that well enough for him to be like, you can have more. One of the things that I've been praying for this week is that God has given me trials of heartache and grief and all these things. And I was praying to the Lord this week, God, would you give me the trial of extreme wealth? I need to try that out. I think you should test me with millions of dollars just to see if I can handle it. That was just supposed to be real funny right there. In Luke chapter 16, verse 13, I'll read this, and it'll be on the screens. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So obviously, we jumped immediately to the money thing. This is what God talks about. I love that Pastor Bobby always says, if the Bible talks about it, we're going to talk about it. And so this scripture is very connected to money. But again, I want you to know this about today. The goal today is not to expect you to give more or a number or a percentage. It's about our heart. It's everything about our heart. If our heart is where it's supposed to be, these things will be easier. You know, the life transformation, the being trusted, the stewarding, the serving of a master, all these things will fall into place if he has our heart. And so faithful in little, faithful in much. That's what the scripture says. You cannot serve both God and money. And here's what I want us to know. This is what I thought of when I was reading the scripture. That money isn't just a resource. It truly is a revealer. It truly reveals where our life is. Think about it. Think about it. One of the things that my dad always used to tell me is, and I know why, my first paycheck, I was helping at this little construction company back in North Carolina. And I remember getting $500 every week that summer. And so I'm 16 years old. And what did I do? I put it in the savings. You know, I was saving up. I was being a really good steward. That was all a lie. You know what was the first thing I did? I went to the closest clothes store that I could find, and I bought the ugliest clothes that you could ever think of. And I thought it was cool, though, you know, and I bought chains, like the kind that turn green the first time you take a shower. You know, like I bought all these things because, and my dad, I remember my dad saying, it's like, you literally took no time wasting away your first paycheck. And I was just like, well, that's what it's for, right? I mean, for me to be happy. And he's like, well, no. you live here for free, by the way. And he started teaching me a bunch of lessons about money. And I had to start paying. Some people think this is harsh, but I started paying rent at 16. It wasn't much, but, you know, it hurt me. And then he made me do things like I had to put gas in the car for my mom to drive it. Not for me, for her. Because that was my way of supporting mom. Was I had to fill her tank up, and then she would drive, and at the end of the week, I wanted to go out with friends, and I'd be like, Dad, there's no gas. He's like, well, put more gas in it. So anyways, I started learning a lot of lessons, but it was truly a revealer of where my heart was. It was truly a revealer of my intentions, my mind, where my thoughts were. And yes, I was 16, but it was a lesson that I was learning even then through my dad. But this is where I kind of want to connect this. This phrase right here, I was feeling very convicted, honestly, for the past couple of years. As I kind of like navigate life and you know, I'm getting older. I'm 36 years old and maybe you're just like me. There's a lot of times when I sit there and I wonder, it's like, what's next? You know, what's next in life? What is truly success in the kingdom of God? You know, and I read scripture like this where you can't serve money and God at the same time, because you'll despise one and be devoted to the other. And so the question that's kind of been convicting me for a lot of years is, what does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to actually land on that word success in my life as a Christian? And this phrase right here is what I wanted you to hear from me, that I've been feeling convicted about, that God has not called us to be successful, but he's called us to remain faithful. And I think faithfulness, if you go back to verse 10 where it says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. If you just replace that even with just whoever can be faithful with very little will be faithful with very much. And I want to paint a picture, because a lot of people think of a lot of different things when they think of the word faithful. But here's kind of like the way that I break it down in my mind. Success is external. People see it. People value it. People want it. And they pursue it. It's the same thing that I wanted when I bought those cheap chains. I just wanted people to think that I was cool. I wanted them to think that I was successful. I wanted to have the nicest things. And please hear me say, there's nothing wrong with those things. I'm just saying, again, going back, it's a heart thing, right? In this sense, success is very, it is very external. It's just what people see, is what people pursue. It's the same thing that we all do. But faithfulness is internal. Faithfulness is the consistency and the obedience. Faithfulness is the things where people don't see, the integrity of our lives. And the way I like to think about it is, like, a lot of you in this room are business owners, or you have people that work for you or whatever it may be. Think of someone in your life who you consider faithful. What does that mean? Well, they show up on time. You know, they're always there. You can count on them. They're consistent. They are, I wouldn't use obedient with them, like, you know, they're obedient to what I say. But obedience in the kingdom of God just means that, God, I submit to you. And whatever you ask of me, I will do. And so that's a person who's faithful. That's a picture that I kind of have in my mind when I think of, God has not called me to be successful, but to remain faithful in the little, in the much, in the middle, wherever it may be, that I would be consistent, that I would be obedient to his word, to his calling, and that I would just show up. God, I'm here. What do you need of me? So there's a difference. I wanted to paint that picture real quick. And I kind of wanted to even further paint this picture with a little story. So my dad is the biggest picture of faithfulness that I kind of want to just share with you today. And so here's why. So I grew up Catholic, but the kind of Catholic that was, like, you know, drunk Saturday night and then at Mass Sunday. So not the faithful kind of Catholic. It was very religious, you know, for my dad. We called ourselves Catholics, but, you know, we rarely were there. And when we were there, I remember you had to be super quiet in Mass. And my mom would pinch me really hard if I made any kind of noise. And then Dad would scoot over and just say, we're not going to have pizza if you're not quiet. That's what I remember from being Catholic. So I don't remember very much else. I was little, but I do remember doing my first communion, and doing, you know, all the things that you're supposed to kind of do throughout your life as you're growing up. So anyways, we grew up Catholic. I was actually born in Mexico, brought to the States when I was 5 months old. So I've lived here all my life. People in high school actually called me Coconut, because I'm brown on the outside, but I'm pretty white on the inside. And so that was high school. That's what they called me. But grew up in the States and just kind of saw my dad through this whole journey. So we lived in L.A. in California for a couple of years. We ended up moving to North Carolina when I was probably like 4 or 5 years old. But what I do remember is just being extremely poor. And I do also remember, I remember my dad vividly. I remember his addiction. I remember just the alcohol. I remember the physical abuse. I remember the verbal abuse. Those things that they just don't leave. You know, I remember all those things. I remember trying to stop him, you know, from getting my mom and then getting it myself. I remember all those things. And the reason I tell you this is because I'm trying to paint a picture of what I'm about to say. But I remember this very vividly. I remember the trailer we lived in. I remember the nights being cold I remember there being a hole in the ground in the living room where you kind of had to like do one of these things because it was so weak that you would fall through. I remember it being hot in the summer because it just wasn't insulated well. But we were very, very, very poor. I mean, so poor that he would buy the cornflakes, not the frosted because sugar was expensive. You know, like the plain cornflakes. That's just how poor we were. But the picture I'm trying to paint you is what I saw in his life. And so this is my dad, right? But then I saw him go from religion to relationship with Jesus. I was about 8 or 9 years old when this happened. We all got baptized as a family. My dad met Jesus. And I remember seeing, because before that, he's a tough man. He could take any of you, by the way. Tough man, grew up in the streets, didn't smile very much. I remember people always thinking, it's like, man, your dad's always mad. He's like, no, he's just tough, you know, but he's a big old teddy bear. But he did have to fight his way through life, and his dad was also an alcoholic, and his grandfather was an alcoholic. Like, it was his generational. But when he met Jesus, everything changed. I saw a dad who started saying, I love you. I saw a dad who started saying, I'm proud of you. I saw a dad who would smile, who would hug his kids. And you know why this happened? Because of Jesus. And here's also what I also saw in my dad's life. His faithfulness, his consistency wasn't to a church. And it wasn't to Catholicism or being Baptist. It was to Jesus. And I saw his life. I saw him pursue that with everything that he had. But here's why. Because he knew where he was, and he knew where he is now. I don't want to be there anymore. I remember him saying that. I even remember telling my mom when I was a kid, if that is what a man is, I don't want to be that. I want to be something different. But then when that changed, I remember saying, that's the kind of man I want to be. That's the kind of man I want to be. Here's my point to that story. His faithfulness was because of 100% transformation of his heart. Nothing else. No one asked him to be at this little Baptist church where we were at in North Carolina. No one forced him to give to the church. No one had to ask him to do anything. He did it because he knew, there is no halfway for me now. It's all in. Because what halfway looked like for me was back there where there was addiction. Back there where there was chains, where there were shackles. I don't want to be there anymore. I want to be here where there's freedom. And so I'm going to be faithful to Jesus. And so just a picture of faithfulness. And so this is what I want you to know about my dad's story. When he understood what Jesus did for him, partial surrender didn't make sense anymore. It didn't. It was all in or nothing. Even to the point where he didn't want to be around people who like drank or do anything like that. And it wasn't because he was, you know, being super religious, but because in his mind the picture of that was where he was before, and that's just not where he wanted to be. When he understood what Jesus did for him, partial surrender didn't make sense anymore. And I want you to know that if you're sitting in this room, by the way, and you think that somehow what you have in your life can never be broken, that's a lie. Jesus can do it. Jesus can transform lives. I saw it. I still see it today. Because of my dad, his dad came to know Jesus, and his brothers came to know Jesus, and generations of cousins that I have now in Mexico, people, whole generations came to know Jesus. Because it wasn't a partial surrender. It was 100% of his heart. And they saw that. And he can do that for you. He can. I don't care what it is that you think that God can't do or fix in your life. He can. He can. So let me reframe this real quick. As we kind of make this connection of faithfulness in little, being trusted. Let me make this connection into just the generosity of our heart, into the giving part. When we talk about transformation and being all in, Money is one of those things, obviously. One of the things that I saw my dad be faithful with was his giving. Even in the very little, like I told you. I mean, I remember begging for Yoo-Hoos, and he wouldn't get them for me because they were too expensive. But he wouldn't get his kids Yoo-Hoos, but he would give money. He would give his heart to the church through giving and generosity. And I remember seeing that faithful, even to the day where that's a part of our family's thing that we do, is the first part that comes out of our checks or our budgets every month is not a question. It's not even a question. It's not even a conversation. It just happens because it's a part of our faithfulness to God. You have been faithful, so we will be faithful back with the money. And so it's not about money. Let me just clear that up. Again, you know, Pastor Bobby said it really clear last week, so I'm going to say it again. It's not about money. We can throw out the when I have more, I'll give more, all those different things. He mentioned them last week. But he actually, Pastor Bobby was the one that shared this with me. He said, tell them this. It's not about money, because if it was about that, Chipotle wants your money. Target wants your money. You know, Walmart wants your, Starbucks, Dunkin', they've gotten a lot of my money. Disney wants your money. You know, even good old Christian Chick-fil-A wants your money. So it's not about money. It really isn't. It's about what already has our hearts. So it's not about someone wanting your money. It's about what already has our hearts. And so this is what I want you to think through, is like, what has my heart? Where's my time go? Where's my priorities? Where are my priorities at? What has my heart? And so let me plug this again as we kind of start landing the plane a little bit. Jesus didn't die to get 10% of our money. It's not about money. He died to get 100% of our heart. He doesn't need our money, I promise. I promise you he doesn't. And I even want to say this real quick. My mentor, he used to tell me all the time, he's like, you know why you feel so much pressure to provide and be the one who is all about money? Because you think that somehow you're the one who's the provider. You think that somehow all of that comes from you, when you never were that. God has always been the provider. So if that's true, what do I have to worry? If God is the one who provides, if God is the one who steps in, why would I worry about if I give this, I might not have any more money? God is the provider of our lives. And so he always used to remind me of that. And so I want to challenge us with this, church, as we kind of finish up this morning. We don't drift into faithfulness. We don't stumble into it. It is a decision that we make. Every one of us. It's a decision that we make. And we have that choice today. Will we make that choice or will we not? And what I want us to kind of step into as a challenge for our church is this right here, that we would move from occasional to intentional giving. That we would reorder our priorities and that we would trust God first. I'll close with this little story. So when I heard the word priorities, I've told a couple people this, but you guys know Henry Ford in the early 1900s, industrial revolution, changing the way that manufacturing was done, you know, and then thanks to him, the 9-to-5 and the weekends and all that, you know, thank you, Henry Ford. But one of the things that he also changed was shifting the word priority into priorities. If you look at it, the root word is priority. And what does that mean? One thing. Now we shift it into priorities, which doesn't make sense, because it's like, if there's only one thing that matters, then how can three or four things matter? But he did that in the early 1900s because he wanted to produce more. And so he made it this thing where it's like, we're going to have a couple priorities. As employees, we're going to accomplish three things. You know, excellence in this, whatever, whatever. And so people would fall into that very naturally. But if you look at it from just the word priority, what holds the number one spot in your life? That everything is rooted from that one thing. What is it? What is the priority? At the end of our lives, friends, family, church, our life is declaring something. The question is, what is it saying? What is it saying to our kids? I have three girls of my own. What is it saying to our friends? What is it saying to the people around us? Something already has our hearts, and people know. So this is not about pressure today, but it's about a Holy Spirit conviction in our lives to step into 100% faithfulness and transformation of our heart. God, it is not about giving you 10% of our money, but 100% of our hearts. And so that's what I'll leave you with, friends. What if people were to look into our lives, into the way that we function, into our schedules, our calendar, our bank accounts, our budgets, what would they say? What would they say matters the most in our lives? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as we pray this morning. Father, beyond all things, you want our heart. I am encouraged, Lord, that I know that it's not about the things that I produce or the things that I give to you. But God, you're asking me today, do I have your heart? And so, Lord, as you convict us in this room this morning, to look into our lives, to look at our schedules, to look at the way that we function and the things that we're saying, where does our heart lie? Lord, we want to remain faithful to you. God, you've carried us in your grace. You carried us in your mercy. I have seen it firsthand that, God, you can do all things, that there's nothing in this world that you have not conquered. That, Lord, you reign above all things. And so, Lord, I just ask that this morning you would remind someone's heart, someone's soul, that you are still working and that you do miracles and that you're here to meet with them. And that, God, we would change our lives into pursuing the wrong things to just pursuing you. That no one would ever again have to ask us to do anything, but that we would just submit to you because we believe that in you there's freedom, that there's peace, that there's healing, that there's love, that there's all the things that we need. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for us so that we may live. We love you, Father. We love you. We know that you love us. And we just thank you for this morning and for your word and for the conviction that it brings. May we walk in confidence the rest of this week and today, knowing that you walk with us, that you've always been with us, and that you will continue to be with us. We love you and we pray in your name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.